Blog Talk Radio.
All that we see the old redeemers, this is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Horror.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to experience may be the most exciting night of your life. Your seat will start rumbling. Your heart will start to pound. But don't be alarmed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for. The party starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you loud, live, and direct from the darkest depths of your imagination. Welcome.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
You're Satan, aren't you?
Boy, I could never sit through this without a couple of beers, you know?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seventh member of the Village People.
The horror sex symbol, Christopher Hyland.
He's not just dancing. He's firming his thighs and tightening his buttock.
Oh, man, this is so bad.
I mean, women just, you know, they just, they gravitate towards me. I mean, I don't understand. I think I have a certain kind of magnetism.
The king of splatterpunk, Eric Morse.
A sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
And now, on with the show.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
On its skin. Else it gets the hose again.
clown college. You can't eat that. Yeah. Okay, welcome everybody. This is another episode of what's this show called again? Oh yeah, Full Spectrum Horror. I am your host, and you know who it is. Yes, that's right. I'm the sex machine. Just put a quarter in me and watch me do my stuff. Okay. I'll be here all week. Okay, I'm going to shut up because we have a lot of stuff to get to. With me, you know him and love him, my co-host. He's... Who is he? Oh, yes. Oswald Cobblepot the Penguin. Say hello, Penguin.
Good scares, everyone. This is William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris. The extra, extra sexy fat man is in the house for you. Woo, boy.
Oh, I thought you were the Penguin.
No, he's a lot skinnier than me. You haven't watched Gotham there, Mr. Highland.
No,
I haven't. He looks a lot more like our old buddy Lucas Marlowe than he does me.
No, I'm thinking of the Penguin from the cartoon and the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, he's a little bit too short for me. I'm 5'11" and Danny DeVito is a lot smaller. He's almost munchkin size.
Okay. Let's see. Where is my news? Yes, I have a lot more news, a lot more reviews than normal, so I'll just breeze right through them.
Well,
okay, in no particular order, I had no idea about this, but this is a documentary on the Island of Dr. Moreau movie from 1996, which I have not seen yet. And it says that Firouza Balk was in it, and I had... Well, of course, I didn't know she was in it because I haven't seen the movie. And this will be released in, well, this month and March at various locations around the country, but not that many. A few in Texas, well, mostly in Texas. Mostly in Texas.
Well, the thing is, afterwards they'll get a DVD release and we'll get to see it then.
Yeah. So look for that if you're in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this next news item, it's a little bit old, but not that much. I think it's worth mentioning. This is a comic book sequel to the Fly remake called The Fly Outbreak. This will be a 5-issue miniseries, and it'll start in March. And the writer is Brandon Seifert. He's written... most notably for a comic book called Witch Doctor, which is about, of course, a witch doctor who is a surgeon and an exorcist. And I've read the first volume. It's very well done. And I highly recommend it. And he's also written for the recent Hellraiser comics.
Oh, well, I love those. Those were actually very well done.
And not sure about the art. They do have a cover art for the first issue, and it looks good. So look for that. And, of course, you know very well that I think the remake deserves a novelization. But it's just me. I mean, there's a lot of things that a novelization for this movie could explore.
Well, the thing is that David Cronenberg is now writing books, and why don't you
I did.
Good.
And of course, he had a book come out last year.
Yeah, late last year. So the thing is, Mr. Island, just send him a note every month and tell him, hi, this is Christopher Island. When are you going to start on the novelization for The Fly? Hi, this is your buddy, Christopher Island. When are you going to start the novelization of your movie, The Fly? Boom, hit him every month and drive him nuts. And
okay,
then
yeah, I'm sure... Yeah, I'm not sure if, I just imagine that some people think, oh, there's no market for novelizations of old films. I mean, well, it depends on the film.
No,
and
this,
if enough
this
people...
is why. Everyone in the horror community fucking loves The Fly. So,
yeah,
they would go for a novelization. Dear old, Cronenberg needs to get off his little white hairy butt and do it.
Okay, lastly, and definitely not the least, and I will be doing a short review of this movie later, the movie Late Phases will be on DVD March 10th.
Nice.
And yes, it did deliver the goods. So stay tuned for my review.
Awesome.
And look for that DVD. Eric, what do you have for news?
Well, actually, I don't have news, but I have commentary, and I know you're going to be very interested in this because this is like one of your number one favorite films next to The Gate.
Duh.
And that is...
Liar.
Poltergeist. Mr. Highland, everyone knows that Mr. Highland is a Poltergeist fanatic. I've dealt with American Mary fanatics, but Mr. Highland is a Poltergeist fanatic. I mean, he loves Poltergeist to the point of ridiculousness. I mean, he actually went and found the very rare novelization of Poltergeist 2, went all over the internet and he found it, and he just recently PDF'd it so that he could have it, so that he could read it over and over and over again because he just loves it to death.
Well, I read both those books and I've been telling people how good they are.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to bother with the remake, read the book.
Anyways, Mr. Island, they just released last week the trailer for Sam Raimi's remake of Poltergeist. And it's being directed by the guy who directed the Evil Dead remake. And he's doing the same crap that he did with the Evil Dead remake. This is going to be a remake in name only. It's going to have a similar plot line, but we're going to have different characters. and this, and, you know, we, you know, just so that we don't have to worry about people comparing. Well, guess what? You're going to be getting compared. And you're going to be getting compared right now because, you know, I looked at this and I'm like, okay, whatever. Fucking A. It didn't make my loins go, whoo boy. No. They did do a nice job casting the little girl in this because she does kind of look like Carol Ann, except that she's got dark hair and dark eyes. And they're putting in a lot of stuff that is like Easter eggs to the original Poltergeist in it. But it's like, I'm sitting there going, oh, fuck. One thing that you're not going to be happy about, Mr. Hyland, because what? I know, no Tangina. No little person psychic in this movie at all. They're getting rid of the paranormal investigators, and I think they're using a psychic guy who is a gardener in this. How do you like that? And I can already tell that this is not, you know, the one thing about Poltergeist that I always appreciated was the mm-hmm. fact that its characterizations were just incredible. I mean, you
yes.
felt for this family. You connected with this family. I mean, there was scenes in that movie that just made you love this family. I mean, just in the opening, the situation where they were watching the football game and they were having that typical problem that families used to have in the 80s because the neighbor was on the same signal with their remote control and kept being changing channels on them. Stuff like that, or the mother and father sitting there smoking a blunt. You know, they're not going to have any of this shit in the new Poltergeist. It's going to be stereotypical modern family, and you're not going to care about them, really. You're really not going to care, and that's what is going to fuck this movie up. You cared about it. I mean, that was the reason why Poltergeist 3 fucking tanked, was because they took Carol Ann away from her family. They took her away, and nobody really liked Aunt Trish and the uncle. They really didn't. So, you know, and, you know, even though they sit there and they go, oh, well, Poltergeist, special effects are dated. I looked at some of these special effects that they're showing in there. It's CGI bullshit. And, I mean, they even, you know, in the trailer, they bring in the clown. And this clown is not scary to me. This clown, it's like, oh my God, it looks like something that you bought out of Toys R Us. I mean, give me a fucking break. The clown from Poltergeist was iconic. People loved that clown. People, whenever they see a picture of that clown, it chill runs up them. I mean, even you, Mr. Hyland, you have this. Well, actually, that's what encouraged you to do your clown thing on the weekends, right?
You wish.
Anyway, so, you know, I'm just giving the fans out there a warning. You know, a lot of you are going to, you know, it's going to be the same thing as the Evil Dead remake. If you look at it as a remake, if you look at it as, oh, this is Poltergeist, no. You have to think of it with that this is another movie, this is not Poltergeist, this is not even going to be close. Poltergeist is an iconic movie all its own. It's just like the Fright Night remake. You got to separate yourself from it, or you're going to just absolutely abhor this movie. Seriously. I'm already abhorring it. So anyways, and Mr. Hyland will go nuts because he absolutely is the number one Poltergeist fan of all time. Aren't you, Mr. Hyland?
I don't know.
Yeah, we know. We know about you and your little clown doll. He went out and he found the exact same clown doll, and he has it in his room, sitting
in
the chair.
I have a imitation costume like that, and I can just imagine riding a tricycle at conventions.
we've already seen you in your clown costume running around scaring people. So there. Anyway, so, you know, I think given the time constraints, I think we should start on our review.
Yes, yes. Okay. First up, I'm going to quickly review Wolf Cop. Now, there's really not much to this film. First half is basically a setup where this guy, he's a cop, and I don't know where this is supposed to take place, but it sets up him, sets up the supporting characters, until he gets kidnapped and he wakes up with a pentagram on his chest. And he's been cursed to be a werewolf. And then he's in a bar, I mean the town bar, and he's about to change into a werewolf, and these people come in and try to beat him up or jump him over or whatever, and he tears into them. And someone from the town finds out that he is a werewolf, and he becomes the cop's friend. He wants to videotape his transformation. And it turns out the wolf cop is a sentient werewolf. He can talk. He can, you know, think like a human. And he drinks a lot. It's actually a pretty fun movie. As the wolf cop, he busts up a liquor store robbery. He makes a moderations to his squad car, which is very fitting to his character.
Started a Teen Wolf style to this somewhat.
It's kind of like that, yeah. But the makeup and the prosthetics, it's more, it's
more the Howling.
I'm not sure how to, it's what?
More the Howling or the Wolfman style.
His skin on his face, it's not as human looking. It's, well, you'd have to see it. I mean, it's
okay.
I'm not sure how to describe it. It's
well, that's cool. I mean, people are gonna see it anyway. So
yeah, the makeup and the special effects are well done. I don't want to give away the ending because I'd be spoiling it. But the ending, the big finish, it delivers the goods. It's fun.
Okay,
It's worth seeing, and I would definitely recommend it. And it leaves it open for a sequel, and they do promise a sequel. They're saying a Wolf Cop 2 coming in sometime this year, I believe.
Oh. Okay, so how many howls?
I would give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 howls. That's not bad. That's a lot of howls.
Yeah. Okay. Next up is Ginger Clown. Now, this takes place in 1983 and somewhere in Hollywood. Because the beginning of the movie, a bunch of kids are hanging around the Hollywood sign, and they go to this abandoned amusement park, and this geek character and this blonde girl are walking around there, and it turns out they're not alone in there. There's a bunch of demons who... One looks like a clown, one looks like a spider, another looks like, I don't know, the rest are, I don't know what, they're slugs or something or other. And it's not scary, I wouldn't say I was the right audience for this. I mean, this is more geared towards children. I mean, you haven't seen this, have you?
Yes, I have.
You have. Do you agree that this would be better suited for kids?
No, because kids would be screaming their heads off.
Really? This?
Oh,
This wasn't scary.
Scary enough.
Oh, come on.
I mean, it does have that kind of fantasy feel, kind of like Labyrinth.
Yeah.
But it's dark fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't really that scary. I mean, this is kind of like it reminds me of... my ideas of there should be a Muppet show for adults, like a horror comedy Muppet show for adults.
Yep.
I can just imagine that. I can just imagine a bunch of horror actors getting in on that.
Yeah, and what got me was that they really tried to play up the idea that they got Tim Curry to play the voice of Ginger Clown, which it doesn't even really look like even a clown.
Yeah.
The Ginger Clown character. But, it was an odd film.
Yeah.
Very, very odd.
Yeah, I mean, if I saw this movie when I was younger, I mean, I would have been able to handle it. But then again, I saw a lot of R-rated movies, horror and otherwise, when I was a preteen.
Yeah.
And I wish there were more movies like this to act as a transition to horror movies, because when I was growing up, there weren't anything, okay, there are probably a few. I mean, movies like this, like the Monster Squad, or God, I don't know. What are the movies back in the 80s were comparable to this? What do you think?
Monster Squad, the Goonies, those type of ones.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but when I was growing up, I had no choice but to jump at the deep end. And
yeah,
of course, I guess it turned out fine.
Yeah,
but,
it turned out fine.
But what do I give this movie? I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's nothing spectacular, but it should give some people in the industry some ideas.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I would give this a 6 out of 10.
Six out of ten howls. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Okay. Now lastly, and this is definitely my favorite, Light Phases. And I have to give props to the writer and director and casting director for casting a mostly older cast, because that's the characters. Okay, it's about this guy, Ambrose. He's moving to a retirement community. I'm not sure where. And everyone's in their own little house on this property, and guy is a blind Vietnam veteran, and not long after he moves there, there's a werewolf attack. His neighbor gets killed, and his seeing eye dog gets killed as well, and he realizes that it's not really a dog, it's some kind of beast, and he's waiting for what he can see, what he can do, and he's getting to know everybody, and he's trying to figure out who's the beast. And most of the movie, it acts as a murder mystery, me trying to figure out who's who and what's what. And let's see, who else is in this? One of the supporting characters is played by Rotanya Alda. That was good. Guessed who it was, but I was wrong. My second guess was right. And I appreciated how well this was written. There were a lot of subtleties to this. And on top of that, I just liked how well it was written, how well it was acted. The pacing was good. You only have appearance of any werewolf at the beginning and at the end.
Hmm.
Most of the movie is about character development, and that's good.
Cool.
We need more of that in movies. We need more of that in horror movies especially, and I'm glad, and I know I said this before, but I'm glad that they hired a mostly older cast. Made for a better movie. So, and of course, the werewolf effects were very well done. And they weren't wrong when they say this was a very good werewolf movie. They were right. This movie delivers the goods. There were a few times where I wouldn't say scared, but I was surprised at different parts of the movie. So if you want a good werewolf movie that's made, within the last 2 years, watch this movie. Definitely a 9 out of 10.
Awesome! 9 out of 10, Hal.
Yeah.
Alrighty,
you can't go wrong with this one.
I guess it's my turn. Mm-hmm. And I had two movies, but I guess I'll only have time for one. And I'm going to go for the really good one.
Good.
That I have. And that is Atticus Institute. This is a somewhat mockumentary found footage type film. And it is about the notorious, you know, there was actually an Atticus Institute. That was, and the thing is that the Atticus Institute was known around 1976, and that they were doing research on psychic phenomena, because they wanted to, Russia was doing a lot of experimentation with psychic phenomena and that. You know, this was around the time when they were having the people who were, doing astral projection and stuff for the government and that. So anyways, there's a... It was a small psychology lab in Pennsylvania. And the thing is that they were doing tests on psychics. Well, you know, there is this story that is more of an urban legend, that what happened, and this is what this movie is about, that one of the psychics that Atticus Institute got was actually a victim of possession. And this was a woman who was possessed. And so the thing is that she was showing incredible psychic powers, and then they found out that she was possessed, and what ended up happening is that the military took over Atticus Institute, and they started experimenting on this possessed woman, trying to weaponize her, trying to turn her into a weapon for the military. And, oh my God, I mean, I've heard about this for years, and it's just amazing that they did a movie based on this. And they did such a wonderful job. I mean, it looks like 1976. The people that they've casted looks like people from 1976. The girl that they got for the woman that's possessed, she was just right on. Because I've actually seen some of the films from the Atticus Institute. And they just did an outstanding job on this. And it's like, oh my fucking God. This is scary. You know, you are just going, oh my God, is this real? Or, it really pushes your ideas of what's reality and what's fake. Yes, this is a dramatization, but it feels so real to you. And, I mean, it's terrible what they do to this poor woman. I mean, hell, they hook electrodes up to her and shock her to try to control the demon, to make the demon do what they want. And, they don't really care about this woman. And it's just, it's scary, it's disturbing, and it's heart-wrenching. So, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, I have to give this one 9 out of 10 howls. I mean, it's beautifully done. They don't have, you know, like the shaky cam or any of that. It's just done from, like, surveillance cameras. It's done from movie cameras, and it looks, you know, like the old footage from those documentaries and stuff. Very interesting, indeed, the way that they filmed this. So I highly recommend this. What do you think there, Mr. Highland?
I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah, but doesn't it sound interesting?
Yes. Is it new?
Yeah. I mean, me being into the paranormal and stuff, you know, I've heard all the stories about Atticus Institute. So when I saw this, it was like, oh yeah, shoot, I'll check it out, see how bad they cocked it up. And it was like, whoa. This was actually very well done. It impressed me. It impressed the hell out of me. So anyways, so as I said, 9 out of 10 howls on that one. Alrighty, we've got about a couple minutes left on the show. Anything you wanna say to the fans there, Mr. Highland, or anything you wanna?
Yes. Next month we will be discussing the movie Nightbreed.
Awesome. Yeah, but not just Nightbreed, the new director's cut.
Yes, that's right.
So yeah, cool. You know. And remember, I had actually hung out with the entire cast of Nightbreed, except of course for what's his name? Your buddy from the Fly, Cronenberg. I didn't. Mr. Cronenberg wasn't there, but all the important people were. But anyways. Also, people, just remember, there's going to be another show in about another 15 minutes. This show ends. It's going to be Bloodbath Radio's return with Derek Young, and I'm going to be there. Derek has a few announcements and some news that he wants to put out, so that's going to be all exciting. And anyways, we've got only a moment left, so as always, keep America strong, watch horror films, and release the beast. How about you, Mr. Highland?
Tune in next time.
Cool. Alrighty.